Well, good morning.
Good morning.
While I get situated up here, would you all turn in your Bibles to that well-worn Christmas text, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Today my task is to try and be brief, which is quite the task in and of itself. But more importantly, my task is to reflect on what Jesus means to us in this moment. And I hope to do so from this text. The title of this reflection, or the summary statement that I want you to walk away with, is The Enduring Hope of the Child in the Manger. The enduring hope of the child in the manger. And I'm going to get through 3 points rather quickly, hopefully. And so let me jump right in. The first point, the child in the manger alone is not sufficient. The child in the manger alone is not sufficient. We spend a lot of time in this Christmas season looking forward to that singular event. And while important, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's not alone sufficient for us to have a hope that does endure. And honestly, a lot of the time we just fight against the cultural winds that blow just to get people to recognize that there was a child in the manger and that it is an important event. But we can't just stop there, can we? Because the child in the manger is not sufficient. The second point is that the child in the manger, though not sufficient in and of itself, is the fulfillment of prophecy long told. That's what the point of our Advent series up to this point has been about, pointing out these texts in the book of Isaiah that did in fact point to the fact that there would be a child in a manger and that that would be a singularly important event. We've talked about prophecy from Isaiah, which occurred hundreds of years prior. But again, the child in the manger is not sufficient even at that point, is it? Okay, before I get to my third point of the reflection where we're going to spend the bulk of our time, I do want to set the scene for John chapter 6. And why in the world are we hanging out here? Well, in John chapter 6, we begin by seeing Jesus feeding the multitude in the wilderness. He breaks the bread and it multiplies, and they are more than satisfied. And then, following this, Jesus gets in a boat and goes across the sea. And upon finding Jesus across on the other side of the sea, the disciples come and ask Jesus this question: Rabbi, when did you get here? And in verse 26, Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." "What sign then are you going to do so we may see and believe you?" they asked. "What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Verse 35, "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, And the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. That's a pretty good sermon, right? Stop right there, full stop, we're done. That surely had its proper effect in the people that heard, right? Straightforward, right to the point. Therefore, the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, what were they saying? Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So what does this passage have to do with Christmas, right? Let's go back to my first point for a moment. The child in the manger is not enough. Facts without context turn that child in the manger into idolatry or mythology. If you don't understand who the Jesus is, who was the child in the manger, you lose all bearing on the actual significance of that event. You see who what these guys are saying? They're saying, hey, we know his parents. They're right over there. What's so special about this guy? They didn't have the whole context, or they weren't piecing it together. So facts without context lead to mythology or idolatry. That's the same can be said for us today. If your entire tethering point to the Christian faith is Christmas, a baby came and was born, you've missed the bigger picture. Number two, the child in the manger is the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus here ties himself back to Isaiah, where he says, and they will come and learn from him. They will come to God to learn from him. But the story doesn't stop there. Because the child in the manger, not only is it not sufficient, absence of the context, not only is it the fulfillment of prophecy, that is looking backwards and stopping there, the child in the manger is the beginning of a life of eternal consequence. And that's exactly what we are encountering here in our text today. Look how Jesus reflects on the child in the manger, right? What is the purpose that he saw in his existence in human form? I'll point you again to verse 38. This purpose statement that Jesus sets for himself. For I've come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, who is it that sent Jesus? It was the eternal plan of the triune God. Jesus isn't operating outside of that, but in complete concert with the divine plan. But what is the will of him who sent me? Twofold, we get it laid out for us. That I should lose none of those he has given to me, but should raise them up on the last day. And he restates this again, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It doesn't happen if we just leave Jesus in the manger. These two statements of purpose for Jesus point to the twofold, the divine responsibility and human responsibility. Jesus is saying that he is not going to lose any of those that are given to him. So we should all just go about our lives without any consequence and not thinking about what that has to do with the way that we go about living, right? Wrong. Because when he restates it, we see the human responsibility of what action should we take. It's when we see the Son and believe. That's the call. We see the Son and we believe, and we will have eternal life. So this passage right here is really a nutshell of the Christmas message. For those of us who are among the family of God, we look to this passage and we find a deep hope when we face all the trials, when we face suffering, when we face difficulty. We see in Jesus the hope of eternal life. We see the hope of a future characterized by grace and mercy in the final day. For those not in the family of God, we see a call to follow him, see Jesus and believe, but put Jesus in the proper context. He is the one prophesied, and he is the one who is going to come again. And going back to those of us who are in the family, we see that this purpose behind Jesus' existence actually should transform us. It should have an effect on us that we are different, that our lives are changed, and the purpose of our lives are changed as well. Because not only did Jesus come to set things right, but he came to invite us in to the overarching mission of God. We get to step in with him. He invites us forward to take this message. The manger, the child, critical. But the significance of that event does not come from the event in and of itself. It's an essential piece of the tapestry that God is weaving together throughout space and time. His birth allows us rebirth. And that's the hope in which we stand. So tomorrow, as we're all excited, seeing kids open up presents, let's remember what we are doing all of this for. And might we extend the Christmas season beyond this short time? Let's pray. Lord, in just a short time, we're going to be leaving this area, and we're going to be going downstairs, and we are going to join together in a feast with one another. Importantly, you tell us that you are the bread of life. What that means is we have hope in you for sustenance beyond what this world can offer. Lord, we thank you that when you came, you became Emmanuel, God with us. We can reflect on your presence with us, not only in your earthly life, but even now. And Lord, may we carry on us the mark of rebirth. Lord, may we bear up your name. May we never fall into the pitfalls of either mythology or idolatry when it comes to our focus on the things of this world. But Lord, may we recognize who you are and the reason why you came, that we might know you and love you and follow after you for all eternity. Lord, now as we continue to sing, would you please inhabit our praises? Would you give us a joy that surpasses anything that can come tomorrow morning? And Lord, may we reflect always on you in the significance of your life, your death, and your resurrection. And may we be well prepared as we anticipate your return once again. Lord, please bury the truth deep within us. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.